Well, good evening. Go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. It seems kind of strange to say that as soon as I get done preaching, I'm going to go to prison, you know, but you do what you got to do, you know. In any case, that's the least of my worries right now. Because when I look on TV, when I'm scrolling through social media, whatever, there are a lot of worries that seem to be getting to a lot of people, right? And one of the main things right now is this political mess. We'll just call it that. This political mess that's going on in this country. And this is no small mess, is it? It is a very huge mess. It's timely. It is consuming everything. All of our emotions are being pulled into this thing. I mean, just all of these things that we have to deal with because of this political mess, this wreck that we're dealing with. And, you know, sometimes we have this temptation to let those things really take control of our lives. And I mean, really to make it seem like it's the main thing we need to be talking about, the main thing we need to be dealing with, the main thing anybody needs to be focused on. Everyone needs to be focused on. But really what we need to spend time doing instead of fearing all of these, you know, uncertain things, we need to control those fears. We need to not let our fears run amok. And that's basically what I want to talk to you about tonight. How do we find ourselves not falling into the same trap that everybody else in this country seems to be falling into? How do we find ourselves in a place where we can be safe and secure, knowing that God is with us and we have nothing to worry about? Now, that seems kind of weird for me to say, especially when we're talking about this political issue. Nothing to worry about? Yeah, that's right. Nothing to worry about. But we don't just get there by thinking about it. We don't just get there by hoping. We work to get there. We've got to be focused. We've got to be paying attention, not only to what's going on, but to ourselves, and no doubt to our relationship to God. So we need to learn to control these fears and not let them run amok. When I say fears, I'm not just talking about simply being afraid. I am talking about being afraid, but I am talking about our anxieties. I'm talking about our uncertainties. I'm talking about our paranoias, if you will. And all of these are pretty much focused on the present, or they're focused on the future. What's going to happen? When is it going to happen? Who's going to do it? What next? All of these things that our fears are being pointed towards, being focused on by ourselves, by the things we see out here in the media, by anything else. And so we need to learn to control them. And sometimes, if we think about it, if we don't control them, they will become a danger to us. And they'll become a danger in a few different ways. To our relationship to God, a danger to ourselves, and possibly even a danger to others. If we're not careful, if we fear so much, where will that lead us? What will we be willing to do to get rid of that fear? We already know a ton of bad examples that we can point to. When people are afraid, and the terrible decisions they end up making. So we don't want to fall into that trap. We want to learn to control it. And I've asked you to turn to Isaiah chapter 8, that is. And I want us to read here. I want us to see how God encouraged his prophet and his people with these things. No doubt, this is the time in Isaiah's life, really, he just got done speaking to King Ahaz. And they're dealing with a ton of things right now. They're dealing with conspiracies. They're dealing with a lack of faith. They're dealing with all of this political mess as well. Okay. I'm thinking, well, you know, when is our next king going to be killed? Why is he making all these dealings with these enemy nations? Why is he doing all of this? All of these uncertainties, all of these conspiracies, all of these fears and anxieties wrapped up into one. But let us read what God has to say when he wants people to deal with it. Isaiah chapter 8, starting in verse 11. It says, "For the Lord God spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread, and he will become a sanctuary. Those are very encouraging words. But they weren't only powerful and applicable to those people then. What I want us to discuss tonight is how those words are powerful and applicable to us today. Well, I think one of the first things that we need to deal with when it comes to not letting our fears go all over the place, you know, irrationally, one of the ways that we can focus them in is through prayer. Plain and simple. It is through prayer. This is our first line of defense. This is the first thing that needs to be done. When you feel afraid, when you're so uncertain, when you have all these anxieties, what do you need to do? You need to pray. What do I need to do? I need to pray. I know sometimes I don't really expound on that too much. I don't really talk about it. I don't really practice it that much. And I'm ashamed of saying that. And it really is a shameful thing. But this is the main thing, one of the most powerful things, decisions that we all can make. If we're going to deal with these things, we need to pray. And really, it does two things for us. It gives us peace, and it exemplifies our trust in God. We draw near to God, closer to God, when we pray, when we spend time talking to Him. I'm telling you all of the things that you already know, but we need to constantly be reminded of these things, do we not? We need to pray. Let's read what Paul had to say when he's encouraging the Philippians here. Chapter 4, starting in verse 6. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Thanks, Paul. Now, what did he say not to be anxious about? You see that word there? Some things. Don't be anxious about some things. No, that's not what he's saying. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Anything? Anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Paul, of course, here is writing to believers. And these believers, these Philippians, are in the middle of their own dealings, of their own muck, if you will. They're dealing with false teachers. They're dealing with false prophets. They're in their own political turmoil. They're in their own dreadful uncertainty. But he says, even in the midst of all of this, God will guard you. And he will guard your hearts. And he will guard your minds. But this peace, of course, is only granted through one thing. And the answer is right there. You want that peace that surpasses understanding? These are the things that you need to do. And everything, he says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. They're going through the same kind of things we're going with. I mean, this world doesn't change at all. We all struggle with the same things time and time and time again. This is how we get through it. This is the first thing. We have to pray. Give it over to God. I'm sure you've been at a very stressful point in your life and you thought, man, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Have you ever just stopped and prayed to God, just gave it all to Him? That makes you feel better, doesn't it? Makes you feel a lot better. It's like this huge weight has been lifted off of you. That's when you come to realize that it's not all up to you. And you don't need to be out here making all of these different decisions thinking, I've got to solve every problem, every issue, because those guys, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, you pray to God. You give it over to Him. We're going to be a lot better off. We're going to feel a lot better. We're going to be a lot better. And so we need to pray to Him. But of course, this world does not understand how Christians have this peace that surpasses understanding. They don't understand how Christians are unshaken, undisturbed by all of this political turmoil. And really, that's how we need to be acting. Those are the kind of people we need to be, undisturbed, unmoved by any of this. Now, why is that? Well, how are we supposed to act when the world is going crazy? Do we go crazy with it? Of course not. We stand out. We be the light. We be the example. People are watching you. They're watching us, seeing what needs to be done. Who better else to give them the example of Christ? Who better else to show them and to tell them what God would do? God's people do not get too caught up in these things. Whenever the news comes on, shows you something very sad and very bad, yeah, it'll get to you. But you don't dwell on it. Whenever you're scrolling through, you see something bad, something sad, yeah, it'll get to you. But you don't keep talking about it. You don't keep thinking about it. You get back to God. You focus your mind up. We focus our hearts together. And we get back to where we need to be. Of course, this does not mean we're supposed to be apathetic towards everything. Oh, I just don't care. Oh, it just really doesn't matter. That's not what we're supposed to do. That's not what it means. But it does mean we know how to control our fear. It does mean we know how to prioritize our fears. They're not just out here. The next thing we see, we're all over it. The next thing, oh, here we go. That's not what we do. We let these things go. We give them over to God. But it doesn't stop there either. It doesn't just stop with us realizing how we need to act. But as believers and sojourners, we have a duty not only to be praying for ourselves, other Christians and other brethren, but for this world, for our leaders. Do we not? Let's read what else Paul has to say. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. He says, first of all, then I urge. You see that word there? He says, urge. He says, this is important. This is something that needs to be done. This isn't some passive thing. I urge that supplications, here we go again, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. He says, this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of our God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be praying for our leaders. We need to be hoping that things will work out. Or are we more concerned about bashing them, bringing them down, talking about how terrible they are and how much better of a job we would do if we were in their position? Is that what we're supposed to be spending our time doing? Couldn't we be spending that time praying for those people? Can we be spending that time hoping that things will work out? No doubt many brethren fall into this trap. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world, in the country, it doesn't matter. Many brethren do it. And it's a temptation, a strong one to do it, to fall into the same rut that everybody seems to fall into. But we're children of God. We're Christians. We don't fall into this nonsense. We don't eat this junk. We stay away from it. We pray to God. We give it all over to Him. And we pray also for our leaders that things might work out. And like we said before, it exemplifies our trust in Him when we do it. So let us pray. The last thing I consider here is, of course, Jesus. Jesus is always found praying. He's always laying His concerns, His cares on God. Jesus is just our perfect example. But do you ever catch yourself, though, unsure, distrusting of everything, of everyone that you think, and you sort of start to believe that maybe I'm the person for the job. Maybe it'll be solved, no problem, if I were involved. Maybe not just by my power, if I had any, but maybe by my wit, by what I could say, by what I could convince people. But why is it, when we know nothing, and we have a hard time praying to God, and we want to trust in ourselves, that we find Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself, praying? He knows what's going to happen. You see, brethren, we don't know what's going to happen. We have no idea. We're so uncertain. That's why we have all these anxieties. And we have a hard time praying to God. But Jesus, who knows what's going to happen? Who understands? He knew what was going to happen in His life. He knew what was going to happen even later on. And what do we find Him doing all the time? Praying. How much more do we need to be doing that? How much more do we need to be focusing on giving it all to God? I told you, He's our example, our perfect example. He's always doing it. And we need to be doing it too. Not falling into the trap of this world, but doing what God wants us to do. Being His example on earth. Now, the second thing we need to learn how to do is how to quit feeding our fears. We pray to God, we trust in Him, but then we need to quit feeding them, right? I'll tell you this little wolf example, and I mean, there are tons of variations of this story. I try to find like one short, simple wolf example story for this, but I mean, there are just so many, you know, in different cultures and all these things. But the example is, well, which wolf are you going to feed? And you have two wolves here. You have the good one and you have the evil one. Either you're going to feed the good one or either you're going to feed the evil one. And this is something similar, no doubt, with what we're dealing with. But it comes down to our trust or our distrust of God. Which wolf are you going to feed? Which one are you going to focus more on? But really, this is, God says it better, of course, when he's speaking to Isaiah. He says, do not call conspiracy all that this people call conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. He says, listen, quit feeding into all of these things that are around you. And God, of course, in his amazing wisdom, he knows us. He knows how we're going to act. He knows what we want to do. Whenever we hear all these bad things, whenever we hear all these sad things, yeah, we want to go with the conspiracies. Yeah, we want to fall into that fear. But God here says you need to make a distinction between yourselves and between those who are falling into this. Do not call conspiracy that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. He makes that distinction. The Lord is assuring Isaiah and his hearers that they have nothing to fear. And all they keep doing is adding to their trouble by distrusting God. And what they need to do is distance themselves from all of it, from all of that trouble. Get away from it. You want to know how you don't let your fears become everybody else's fears? You stop listening to them. You get away from it. You don't spend time feeding into it. And no doubt it's the same thing for us. Our fears need to be controlled like any other temptation. And sometimes all this dwelling on doom and gloom often at times becomes a temptation to distrust God. But we don't want that. So what we need to do is we need to cut out the junk. Okay? Now, if that means I need to turn off the news, so be it. If that means I need to turn off or stop listening to certain types of music, so be it. If that means I need to stop listening to the radio, so be it. If that means I need to stop listening to podcasts, so be it. If that means I need to stop watching television or certain parts of television, so be it. If that means I need to stop reading the newspaper, if you still do that, so be it. Even if I have to stop associating with certain people and going certain places, then so be it. I need to quit feeding that wolf that wants me to distrust God. To not give him all of my fears. To not give him the trust that he deserves. So what are we going to do? When he says, do not call conspiracy, all that this people calls conspiracy, he isn't saying that these things don't exist or that they didn't exist back then. They don't exist now. But no doubt there are tons of other things that we as Christians can be spending our time doing, our time nourishing. So instead of feeding into all of this mess, what we can do is spend time feeding and nourishing our trust in God. And we've already talked about one of those ways, by prayer. And no doubt we can read God's word. We can spend time on his milk and on the meat, the bread of God's word. Build your trust. Make sure you're trusting in him. You rely on him. Don't feed into anything else. Feed your minds and hearts with God's word. That's going to assure you more than anything else that you can come up with, more than anything else that all these other people out here can come up with. God's word is going to assure us. And so we need to spend time in it. And no doubt this is essential for our spiritual growth. You're either going to feed the one that needs to be fed or not. So take a break from it. Literally, if you have to, just do it. take a break from the nonsense and realize and remember who is in control and who is working for our good. Of course, some will say, well, I'm still uncertain. I still have all these anxieties. If you're uncertain, that's okay. But don't make it worse for yourself. There's no reason for Christians to be walking around all doom and gloom. There's no reason, no point in being the light if it's often dimmed by the darkness of this world. We are the light, Jesus says. That doesn't mean we're always happy and excited about everything, but we're showing people what needs to be done. We're showing people which side they need to be feeding. You feed the one that trusts in God. You feed the one that relies on Him, not the one that's going to take you further and further away from Him. And so our focus needs to be right. And it's when we cut the source of these things. When you quit nourishing those fears, they become weaker and weaker and weaker. You know, we all know that. You're probably weak right now. You didn't eat lunch or something like that. Or maybe you're ready for dinner time. You're really hungry, right? That's what happens when you don't nourish something. It gets weaker and weaker and weaker. So that means it can be done. That means you can get beyond it. You've got to quit feeding it. You've got to starve it to death. You've got to trust in God. Feed that other side, and it'll work. It can happen. And the last thing we need to learn is we need to learn to fear God more than anything else. Fear God more than anything else. Nothing is more deserving of our fear than God. This fear includes both our reverence towards Him, our respect, and our dread, both of them. Isaiah chapter 8, if you're still there, verse 13, but the Lord of hosts, Him you shall honor as holy. And what does He say? Let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. This is akin to when Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear Him who can destroy both body, both soul and body in hell. They're both saying the same message. God is saying the same message here. Fear God more than you fear anything else. Don't pour all of your dread into something and think that is the worst thing that can happen. Losing your soul is the worst thing that can happen. Losing that relationship with God is the worst thing that can happen. That is the worst. Fear that more than anything else. And that's the thing we need to be focusing on. But what happens when we don't? Let me tell you, the Bible is just filled with tons of examples with this. Of people who do not fear God. Of people who fear other things more than God. In Numbers 13, there Moses is getting ready to send some spies out into the land. To spy it out, of course. And, you know, he sends out 12 spies. All of them come back. Two of them have a good message. 10 of them don't. Those 10 end up encouraging the rest of the congregation to whine, to weep, to complain, and they lose their spot. They lose their chance to go in to take the land. And the reason why that was is because, well, they feared those around them. They feared more of their enemy nations than they did God. God said, go in. Take the land. You're ready. That's why I brought you here. You're ready to go in and do it. They say, we're not ready. We're too afraid. We don't fear you that as much as, you know, we've seen all of the things and the wonders that you've done, but you know what? We forgot all about that. Because now we're before these fortified cities. We're before all of these tall people. And let me tell you, I don't think I can do it. That's what happens when you fear God or when you don't fear God. That's what happens when you fear those around you and the things that are happening around you more than you fear God. But what happens when we do? And once again, you don't have to take my word for it. What happens when we do fear God more than anything else, more than the things that are happening, more than all of these anxieties and these conspiracies and all of these things? Well, what happened in Daniel chapter 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You know what? I like what they had to say. They say, even if the Lord does not deliver us, we're not going to listen to you. That's the sort of attitude we need to have. Even if the Lord does not deliver us, we don't get through it. We don't make it out alive, if you will. We'll still be with God. All things will still be okay. We fear God more than anything else. We fear God more than all the bad things that can happen. The worst things. And that's what happened to those three men. They feared God more than what the king had to say, the most powerful person in the world at that point. They said, we're not going to bow to your idol. We're going to trust in God no matter what. That's what happens when we fear God more than all of the things, all of the troubles that are happening. And those who fear God are applying the beginning of Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 14, where it says, and he will become a sanctuary. That seems kind of weird to think about, right? He just got done saying, let God be your fear, let God be your dread. And then he says, and he will be your sanctuary. That's weird. What do you mean? We don't often think of things that we are afraid of as a sanctuary or something we dread as somewhere safe. But what he's talking about here is God is a sanctuary to those who fear him. But he's also a trap and a snare to those who don't. God both comforts and warns Isaiah, of course, of this important message. And what we need to recognize is while he's talking to his people here, he's talking to us people here even today. We need to fear God more than anything. And when we do that, he becomes our sanctuary. What he's saying here is you can't get away from God. It's either you're going to fear him and be right with him, follow his commandments, do what he says, or you're not going to fear him and you're going to fall into all these traps and snares. Isn't that what the world has done? Isn't that what we see every day? People who have fallen into all these traps, all these snares, because they didn't fear God, because they didn't dread him more than anything else. But we're God's people. What are we going to do? What do we have to do? We put God first. We put him in his proper place first, where he belongs. And brethren, that distinction is made time and time again in Scripture. And it's concerning both who revere and dread God and those who don't. But of course, like I said, don't just take my word for it. You can read the Scriptures and find it out for yourself. But those who fear God are privileged with that peace that surpasses understanding. And that's what we need to rely on. That's what we trust in. That's a promise there. And we've got it. But you got to make sure we keep it. We have to make sure we're on top of our fears, our anxieties. We're controlling them. We're pointing them to where they need to be. We fear God more than anything else. We quit feeding all of these things. And we pray to him constantly concerning the things that we're worried about and concerning our leaders, and hoping that things will indeed work out. But that peace is for Christians. It's for God's people. But if you're not a Christian, you don't have that peace that surpasses understanding. You don't understand it. How all of these things can be going on and nothing happens. We still believe in God. We still trust in him. We still hold to him. You want that peace? You want it? There are things you have to do. You have to believe in God. You have to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. We talked about how he was our perfect example. You don't believe me, you read the Scriptures, you find out. You trust in him, you believe in him, you confess him. You repent of your ways. You turn around, you make a change in your life, and you be baptized for the remission of your sins. And once that is done, you're ready now to walk a faithful life. It doesn't just stop there after baptism. You continue on. You want that peace, you continue on. And it's going to secure both your mind and your hearts in him. And that's a gift. That is a privilege to the children of God. And if that's not you, we are encouraging you that if you have that decision to make, you make it today. And you don't waste any time. Or perhaps you are a Christian here tonight, and you've been letting these carnal fears and these things control you more than you probably should have. You've been spending too much time, too much attention, worrying about these things. Well, you know what? We're going to put what we talked about tonight into practice. We're going to put it into action. We're going to pray together for you. For whatever it is, you understand. We're going to give it all to God. We're going to make sure that He knows. Indeed, we are concerned for this world. But we care about God's will more than anything else. And we fear Him first.